Welcome to the deep dive. You guys sent in a really interesting case, United States v. O'Hagan. We're going to break it down together, and it's about insider trading. But
yeah, but not the usual kind you think of, right?
Yeah, exactly.
United States v. O'Hagan is all about the misappropriation theory of insider trading.
Okay, so for those of us who aren't lawyers, can you maybe explain that a little bit? Like, what is the misappropriation theory?
Basically, it says you commit insider trading if you steal information.
Oh, wow.
You misappropriate it and then use it to trade and make a profit. The key here is it applies even if you don't owe a direct duty to the company.
Oh, that's interesting.
Whose stock you're trading.
Yeah, so that's different from just typical insider trading.
Right.
Okay, so how does this all tie back to the O'Hagan case?
So James Herman O'Hagan was a partner at this big law firm, Dorsey & Whitney. And Dorsey & Whitney was representing Grand Met, and they were planning a tender offer for Pillsbury.
Ah, Pillsbury. So yeah. This is already, I can tell this is going to be good.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So O'Hagan, he wasn't directly involved in the Grand Met deal, but he found out about it.
Oh.
And instead of, you know, keeping it confidential, he saw a chance to make some money.
Yeah, so he used that insider knowledge.
Exactly. He bought a bunch of call options for Pillsbury stock.
Mm.
Like, a lot.
Oh, right.
He also bought a ton of Pillsbury common stock.
Oh, wow. So this wasn't just like a little
this was a
side bet.
Big bet.
Okay.
And then, of course, when the tender offer went public, the stock went way up.
Yeah, I bet he was feeling pretty good about himself.
I'm sure he was for a little while, at least.
Yeah.
He sold everything and made over $4.3 million.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's life-changing money for most people.
Definitely.
And it was all from exploiting confidential information.
That's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way he got away with that.
You're right. The SEC was already on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they saw his suspicious trading.
This was before algorithms and everything.
Yeah, back in the day.
Okay.
So they hit him with a 57-count indictment.
57. That's...
that's a lot.
That's not messing around.
Yeah.
What were the actual charges? What did they actually get him on?
They said he had defrauded his own firm, Dorsey & Whitney, and their client Grand Met by using that information for his own gain.
It wasn't his to profit from?
Right.
So it went to trial. I mean, I'm guessing with 57 counts, it didn't go so well.
Yeah, you guessed it. He was convicted on all counts.
Oh, wow.
But here's where it gets really interesting. A court of appeals actually overturned the convictions.
Wait, so they were saying it's okay to steal information and make millions from the stock market?
They didn't think the misappropriation theory was valid.
Oh, that's a...
yeah, it was
recusation.
A big deal, and it really raised questions about fairness and how far insider trading laws should go.
Yeah, and that's why I went to the Supreme Court, right?
Exactly, to the highest court in the land.
Wow, this must have been a big legal battle.
It was a landmark decision.
So what happened? What did the Supreme Court say?
They actually upheld the misappropriation theory.
Oh.
They said O'Hagan didn't owe a duty to Pillsbury directly, but he did owe a duty to his firm and to their client, Grand Met, to not misuse that information.
So they were basically saying, look, you can't just take information that doesn't belong to you and use it to get rich.
Especially not in the stock market.
Especially in the stock market, yeah.
So the Supreme Court said insider trading laws are supposed to protect against any breaches of trust.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter if there's a direct formal duty to the company whose stock is being traded.
Oh, okay. So this really broadened the scope of who can be held liable for insider trading.
It set a big precedent.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a warning to anyone who's thinking about using inside information for their own benefit.
It definitely is. What this case shows us is that insider trading laws don't just apply to CEOs and executives.
Mm.
If you breach a duty to any source of information and use it for personal gain, you could be in big trouble.
So it's really about protecting the market and making sure everyone's playing by the rules. Wow. So the Supreme Court really set a precedent with that decision.
They did. They really wanted to close any loopholes
that
could allow people to exploit this kind of information.
Right.
And to do that, they also upheld SEC Rule 14E3A.
Okay. Rule 14E3A. What's that all about?
This rule says that anyone with important non-public information about a tender offer can't trade on that information unless they disclose it.
Hmm. So like, if I overhear some gossip at a coffee shop about a company being bought, does that mean I can't go buy stock based on that?
That's right. It doesn't matter how you get the information, you can't trade on it unless you tell everyone.
Okay. It's about keeping things fair.
Right. A level playing field.
Because so what happens if someone breaks that rule? What are the consequences?
Well, like we saw with O'Hagan, it can be pretty serious.
Yeah, 57 counts.
right? Criminal charges, fines, even jail time.
Wow.
The SEC doesn't mess around when it comes to insider trading.
So they're really cracking down.
Yeah, they have all sorts of tools to investigate and prosecute these cases.
It makes you think twice.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've talked about the majority ruling, but were there any dissenting opinions in this case?
There were. Justice Scalia agreed with the outcome, but he had a different perspective.
Oh, okay. So he thought O'Hagan was guilty, but
yeah,
he didn't like the reasoning.
He wanted a narrower interpretation of the law.
Oh, okay.
He said in cases where the law is unclear, the benefit of the doubt should go to the defendant.
So basically, he didn't want to stretch the definition of insider trading too far.
Right. He wanted the law to be clear and predictable.
Okay. What about Justice Thomas? What did he think?
Justice Thomas had a more fundamental problem with the whole misappropriation theory.
Right. He thought it was kind of arbitrary to separate stealing information from stealing money.
Exactly. He said they're both forms of theft.
Yeah.
And the law should treat them the same way.
So it doesn't matter if you use stolen information to buy stocks or buy a car.
Right. The stealing is the problem.
Interesting. Yeah. It's amazing how different judges can look at the same thing and see it so differently.
That's what makes these cases so fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. So this case has really had a big impact on insider trading law.
It has. It's changed how we think about confidentiality and these complex financial transactions.
So it's not just about CEOs and big companies anymore.
No, anyone with confidential information needs to be careful.
Now, we've talked a lot about the legal stuff, but I'm curious about the human element here.
Yeah.
What kind of person was O'Hagan?
Well, he was a successful lawyer, a partner at a big firm.
Right.
But there was also a reckless side to him.
Oh, yeah.
He liked to take risks in his trading, and later on, he was even convicted of embezzling money from clients.
So this wasn't just a one-time thing?
No, it seems like there was a pattern of bad behavior.
It's a cautionary tale.
It is. It shows how greed can corrupt even the most successful people.
So some people have said the Supreme Court's decision was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it protects investors. But others have said it goes too far.
Right. They say it could hurt legitimate business.
It's a tough balance.
It is. Where do you draw the line between preventing insider trading and allowing information to flow freely?
It's a debate that's still going on today.
It is. And it's only going to get more complicated as technology changes.
This O'Hagan case, it's just one piece of a much bigger puzzle.
It is a puzzle about financial markets and the law.
Well, we've definitely learned a lot today about the misappropriation theory,
yeah,
the Supreme Court decision, all the ethical issues.
It's been a really interesting deep dive.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with something to think about.
Okay.
This case was about stealing information from a law firm. But what about other kinds of information? Like, what if someone steals trade secrets from a company?
Yeah.
Or uses government secrets for personal gain?
That's a good question.
Does the misappropriation theory apply there too?
It's something that courts are still figuring out.
The law is always changing, trying to keep up with the world.
It is, and that's why it's so important to stay informed and make ethical choices.
All right, so
it really is, you know, we talk about all these laws and rules.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it comes down to people making good decisions.
Right. So we've covered the facts and the legal arguments.
Right.
But I want to talk about the people involved.
Yeah.
Like the Supreme Court justices who made this decision.
Okay.
We talked about O'Hagan, but what about them?
Well, let's start with the author of the majority opinion, Justice Ginsburg.
Ah, Justice Ginsburg. She was a legend.
She was a brilliant legal mind.
Yeah.
Really committed to justice.
How did her views shape her approach to this case?
Well, she was a big believer in fairness and equality.
Mm.
She saw insider trading as a threat to the markets.
Yeah.
It gave an unfair advantage to certain people.
Right.
So her decision in O'Hagan was part of her bigger fight for a level playing field.
I see. So she was saying no one's above the law.
Exactly. No matter how rich or powerful you are.
Okay. Let's talk about Justice Scalia's dissent.
Okay.
He agreed with the conviction, but he wasn't totally on board with the reasoning.
Right. He thought O'Hagan was guilty.
Yeah.
But he had some issues with the misappropriation theory.
So he thought it shouldn't be applied too broadly.
Yeah, he was a textualist.
Mm.
So he believed in sticking to the exact words of the law.
Okay.
And he thought the law should be clear and predictable.
Yeah.
So if there's any doubt, it should benefit the defendant.
So he was worried about over-criminalizing things.
Right, making things illegal that shouldn't be.
Okay, and Justice Thomas, what about his opinion?
He had a completely different take on the whole thing.
Yeah, he really didn't like that distinction between stealing information and stealing money.
Right. He thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
To him, it was all theft.
Hmm.
And the law should treat it the same way.
So whether you use stolen information to buy stocks or a new car,
it doesn't matter, the stealing is wrong.
Interesting. So this case really shows the different ways people can think about the law.
It does. It's a complex issue with valid arguments on both sides.
Yeah, and it's still being debated today.
Definitely, especially with all the new technology and financial tools.
The O'Hagan case, it's a reminder that the law is constantly changing.
It has to evolve to keep up with the world.
So we all need to stay informed and make ethical decisions.
Absolutely. Awareness and integrity are crucial in today's financial world.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything on United States v. O'Hagan.
I think so.
It's a landmark case that really changed how we think about insider trading.
And it's still relevant today.
Yeah, and it shows how these legal cases can have a real impact on how we do business.
Definitely. It's not just theoretical stuff. It affects real people.
So no matter how complex these cases seem, it's important to break them down and understand the key issues.
It is knowledge is power.
And that wraps up our deep dive for today. Thanks for listening.